My name is Senator DeWable Yazcock, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shalom, everyone. My name is Senator Abel Benjamin Alexander Hawks, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Andrew Abel now entering the sanctuary. I now would like to turn it over to future priest Johan Hawkins.
Shalom, you may be seated.
May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you.
The title of my speech is, Who and What Are We? We are the remnant of this kingdom that was set up. We are the last part of it. We are the last part of it, which was prophesied in the scriptures. If it wasn't prophesied in the scriptures, it wouldn't even exist. Because there was no work that is going to be of Yahweh unless it was first prophesied by the prophets of old. I'm sure you all understand that. Those who qualify to do this job are the ones who will be doing it at Yahweh's coming. If you're not willing to do the work that was assigned for you to do, you simply won't be a part of this kingdom. As you're going to say to us, I don't know what house you're from. Please send to Micaiah 4:1, find on page 705. But in the last days it will come to pass that the Mount promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chiefs and nations. It will be raised above all congregations, and all people will eventually flow to it. This is where we are at the house of Yahweh, establishing the chiefs of the nations. For more proof, please send over to Isaiah 2:2. Found on page 531. In the last days it will come to pass that the Mount promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chiefs of nations. It will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it. For our next scripture, please note to Deuteronomy 12:5, found on page 157. But you are to take the habitation from your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes, and there you must go. Yahweh protects us because we are his people. We obey his every word. And we also come to the place Yahweh told us he would place his name in this last generation. Please turn to Psalms 91, verse 1, found on page 470. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of Almighty. In conclusion, remember who and where are you? And what are we? May I bless your understanding. Now I'd like to turn to Sunny Israel for prayer.
At this time for the speaking portion, we have the great Deacon Abba Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. There's been several speeches about it this feast. Even the motto, if you will, for this feast, is about servitude. You came to serve, and not to be served. That's the signs coming in whenever you're coming through the gates, you came to serve, not to be served. And that's the attitude, the attitude of servitude, as Pastor called it, that we ought to have and we ought to show to everyone around us. Remember Yeshua, he talked, a lot about this servitude, and being the servant, the greatest in the kingdom. The greatest in the kingdom is going to be the greatest servant. You know, we all know that, you know, Yahweh's the greatest servant. You know, he serves us every day. You know, if he wasn't here, we wouldn't be here. You know, so if you turn over to Matthew 18. It's Matthew 18, and if you look at verse 1, it says, "At that time, the disciples came to Yeshua asking, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom?'" In the kingdom of Yahweh. And Yeshua called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like little children, you will not enter to the kingdom of Yahweh. For whoever humbles himself like this little child, the same will be the greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh. Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me." You know, we need to have that humility. You know, humility. Of a little child. You know, the humility where, you know, listen to the instructions they're given. They follow them. You know, that's the humility we need to have. You know, it's the same humility that Yeshua had. You know, he wasn't proud. He wasn't arrogant. You know, and he showed this humility. You know, to where he's sitting at the right hand of Yahweh right now, showing, you know, following his instructions. You know, for doing what he's told. You know, and bringing us to perfection. You know, and pastors talked about this many times. You know, over the years. You know, the attitude of servitude. We had a, you know, feast. I don't remember which year it was, but that was the theme, the attitude of servitude. You know, and that's the point Yeshua is trying to prove. You know, so if we want to be great in the kingdom, if we want to have, you know, a position, or we want to, you know, if we want to, you know, do anything, you know, in this work, we need to show that attitude of servitude. We need to, you know, show that humility, you know, and you know, not try to bully people, not try to taunt them or anything, but to be a servant towards them. If you look to, you know, if you turn over to Matthew 20, it's we'll look at verse 20, start at verse 20. Matthew 20:20 says, "Then the mother of Zabdia's sons came to him with her sons and worshipped before him, and wanted to make a request of him. And he said to her, 'What do you want?' She said to him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may be seated in your kingdom, one on your right hand and one on your left hand.'" You know, this is a high position. You know, there's a high office here. It's Yeshua says, you know, Yeshua answered and said, do you not know what you ask? Are you able to drink of the cup that I will drink from, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" You know, and pastors talked about, you know, taking and drinking of this cup, the same cup of Yeshua. You know, are we going to be able to drink of this cup? And this is the question Yeshua posed to them here. They said to them, "We are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but is for those whom it is prepared by my Father." When the ten heard this, they were indignant at the two brothers, but Yeshua summoned them, and said, "Do you know that the rulers of the Gentiles exercise control over them, and those who are greater still exercise authority over them? But this must not be so among you. For whoever will be great among you, let him be your servant." Okay, whoever's gonna be great or have a position, you know, he's got to be the servant. You know, he should be the one serving, you know, and helping, you know, guide the people under him. Remember the peaceful solution. It talks about, you know, a true leader helps the people under him. You know, he's there to hold the other people up, you know, and lead them, you know, in the right way. You know, and that's the job, you know, of a leader. If you have a position, You know, it's to help other people. It's not, you know, it's not to, you know, just give orders, you know, and you know, yell at people whenever they do something wrong. You know, it's to help. It's to be that servant. You know, so you can see that, you know, the other ten, you know, they were jealous of the two brothers, and Yeshua told them, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles that exercise control over them, and they who are greater still exercise authority over them. But this must not be so among you. For whoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. Okay, we need to get that in your mind. We need to get that in our minds. You know, it's important. If you look at the side note there for the word servant, W1, says your minister, that is your servant. You know, minister, the teacher, if you will. It says, and whoever will be first among you, he must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be waited on, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Okay? You know, and he served us all, you know, in a way that probably none of us, you know, could ever do it. You know, he was willing to give his life up for us. You know, and that's something that we should be very thankful for. Thank you. Praise Yahweh. We won't be able to bully our way in. You know, we won't be able to to bully and, you know, pressure our way into the kingdom, you know, or slander or lie about other people. We have to be the servant. You know, if we want to get into this kingdom, you know, as Pastor said many times, we have to be that servant. You know, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing you could do, you know, to another person that Yahweh doesn't see. And that's the thing we should always remember. Whatever we do to another person, Yahweh is watching. You know, and he, praise Yahweh, he sees all, you know, and he sees what occurs, and, you know, and so there's, we need to remember those things and remember that, you know, whatever we might do, you know, or whatever occurs to us, you know, Yahweh sees it, you know, and so there's, you know, we shouldn't, you know, if you're the one, you know, doing something to someone, you might want to remember that, you know, remember that Yahweh is watching and he sees all. But, you know, that is not, you know, the bullying and the, you know, if you slander someone's reputation, you know, or, you know, with gossip or the mind games or psychology, whatever you might do there, you know, in order to get into the kingdom or get a position, it's not going to last. You know, it's not, you might get where you want, but it's never going to last. We have to be that servant, you know, and find a way to help others, find a way to, you know, make other people's lives better, you know, and that's what Yeshua did. You know, he solved people's problems, okay? He showed people how to solve the problems in their lives, you know, and he helped them fix it. He gave them that peaceful solution, you know, to make their lives work, to make their lives, you know, work better. If you turn over to Yochanan Mark 10:42, okay? If you look, verse 42, he's talking about, you know, the greatest in the kingdom. He says, Yeshua called them to him and said to them, you know, those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles, you know, those that are recognized, the people in authority, you know, the people have that rulership. They exercise rulership over them, and those who are greater exercise still greater authority over them. It says, but this must not be so among you. You know, there's nothing wrong with authority, there's nothing wrong with a position, but it's what we can do with that position. It's what we can, you know, if we're gonna help people, we're gonna hurt people, you know, and that's the thing we ought to remember. Praise Yahweh. Now, you know, Yeshua, he used his position. He had a lot of power. He had a lot of say, but he used his position to help people, you know. And like it says here, you know, this must not be so among you, for whoever will be the greatest among you must be your minister, your servant. Whoever of you will be the first, he will be the slave for all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Okay. So the Gentiles, the Catholic Church, the people out in the world, they're the ones who, they play the mind games, the psychology tricks. The Catholic Church does a lot. They're the ones that Satan, the adversary, is the one that is our accuser. She's busy trying to make people's lives hard. Okay. And we shouldn't be the one helping her. Okay, we should be the one trying to, try to solve people's problems, trying to make people's lives better, and trying to save lives, if you will. That's what Yeshua did. He used his authority, or his power, to help others and to save lives, to get Yahweh's plan fulfilled. If you turn over to Yochanan 8. Yochanan 8, verse 1. Okay, Yochanan 8, 1. This is about the woman, okay, we know as Nora, that was taken in adultery. Okay, as pastors brought up, before. This woman, she was brought to Yeshua by the Pharisees. They're trying to trap him. Let's read it. In Yochanan 8, verse 1, it says, Yeshua went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning, and he returned to the sacred precincts of the house of Yahweh, where the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman to him who had been taken in adultery. Now, when they set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now in the law, Moshe commanded that she be stoned. But what do you say? Okay, says they try to trap him that they might have something to accuse him of. Then Yeshua stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. And then when they continued asking him, he straightened himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. Okay? He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And that's the example, of Yeshua. He didn't condemn this woman. He didn't use his power, the authority that, he had, to kill this woman or do anything to her, but he actually helped her, and he taught her the laws, showed her, which she went on to do a very great work, but showed her, that her life could get better. Her life, that sin is not the way to go. And they went out, it says in verse 9, went out one by one, beginning with the elders and the last. Yeshua was left alone and with the woman standing in the midst. When Yeshua straightened himself up and only saw the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no man condemned you? And she said, No man, teacher. And then Yeshua said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He saved her life, not only, from the Pharisees, whatever they had planned to do to her, but he saved her life, spiritually. And he taught her a lesson there, and she went on to do a very great work. I'm out of time, so if y'all please stand. I'd like to go turn it over to next speaker, Great Decoy, Buffalo Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'm going to be continuing on with the topic of service. The theme of the feast is, I did not come to be served, I came to serve. I decided to name this speech for whoever will be the first will be a slave to all. Because that's what Yeshua taught us. Whoever is the greatest is the slave. And the word slave there is not a bad word. We are taught to be servants to everyone. And the greatest commandment in the law, let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. and verses 34 to 40 on page 750. In this scripture, we see the Pharisees setting a trap for Yahshua. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, a lawyer, an expert in the law of Yahweh, asked him a question to test him, saying, 'Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?'" And these people had the same mindset of the people who come in the last days here to this house, not to learn anything, but with the mindset of confronting. "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" Yahshua said to him, "You must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang and depend all the law and the prophets." All of Yahweh's laws are based on servitude. These two laws, these two greatest commandments are the foundations for all of Yahweh's other laws. All of Yahweh's laws are based on servitude, and being a servant to one another is practicing Yahweh's laws towards them. Now, Yahweh is the greatest servant, as we know. Yahweh is not a god. Yahweh does not lift himself up to be a god because Yahweh is the highest. Yahweh does not elevate himself. But if we really look at it, had Yahweh not have been a servant, we would not exist. All life would not exist. And we would have been dead long ago. But Yahweh serves us every night and day. Yahweh allows us to breathe. Yahweh gives us food to eat. Yahweh does everything for us. Yahweh serves us every night and day, and throughout the ages, he has been serving our ancestors and even serving us. Yahweh created the earth for us. Yahweh gave us his laws. Yahweh gave us the book of Yahweh so we could learn. Yahweh gave us his own son, Yahshua, our high priest, so we could be forgiven of our sins. And Yahweh also gave us his house in these last days. The list of Yahweh's service to us goes on and on. Now, not too long ago, Yahshua's memorial came, and we should keep Yahshua in our mind. Yahshua is our example, and Yahshua taught us how to be a servant, and that we must be a servant throughout all of our lives. All that Yahshua did was in service to others. Now, Pastor said that the world hates that Yahshua did not elevate himself or pick himself up as a god or a warrior, but he came as a servant to his people. Now, one of the scriptures of Yahshua's service is in Yochanan 13. Yochanan 13 on page 830. We're going to read verse 1. It says, "Now before the feast of Passover, when Yahshua knew his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." And if you look at side note G2, it says, "Because he saw the great danger towards them, he took great care of them, and he served them." Now, let's look at verse 4. It says, "He got up from supper and laid aside his tallit. Then he took a towel and tied it around himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, then began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he had tied around himself." So if you look there, he's washing their feet. And earlier this feast, there was sermons brought out showing that the people who washed the feet were considered to be the lowest. If you look at verse 12, it says, "After he had washed their feet, he put his tallit back on and sat down again. Then he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and leader, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Since I then, your teacher and leader, have washed your feet, you are also bound in obligation to wash one another's feet.'" If you look at side note G1, it says to serve one another. He was teaching them a lesson of servitude. And as side note, W1 says, humble love. Washing the feet represents, a long time ago, Pastor gave the definition of why Yahshua washed the feet. And he said that washing the feet represents humbling yourself and not putting yourself above your brother, but placing yourself down in front of him. Pastor said washing the feet means being as your brother's slave and one who will help and serve. Just as Yahshua served, we should serve. And this is what we have to look forward to. In the ninth book of Yisro, part 1, chapter 12 and verse 2. In conclusion, it says, our Savior, of course, he's the Passover lamb. He was our Passover lamb. And he, of course, came to serve, as Luke 6 says. He said, I don't come as a ruler, I come to serve. And he said, or he tells you, if you do these things, if you do the things that I show you, then he says, I'm going to welcome you into my house. And the time will come when you will stand before him. He will gird his towel on, and he will serve you, every one of you who makes it. That's a joyful thing to look forward to. So we should set in our minds to be servants to one another, just as Yahshua and Yahweh serve us. So with that, if you all please stand, I'd like to turn over to the next speaker. Great Khan Benjamin Cross Hopkins.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with all you companions. You all may be seated. Okay, the title of my speech this morning is going to be Yahshua's Companions, Those Greatly Wondered At, Bringing Light to the Nations. Okay, bringing light to the nations. Wasn't yesterday an awesome day in the house of Yahweh? You know, I really feel sorry for people that have left because they're not going to see these great things take place. These prophecies are going to come to pass 1,000%, okay? They're taking place, and you're seeing them, and Yahweh's word is going to come to pass. Turn over, if you would, to page 718, Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 8 and 9 on page 718. I'm going to take it slow because I won't get up through this all in one day. It says, hear now, O Yahshua the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you. You know, I'm looking at them right now on both sides. Okay, and they're also in the outlying areas. Okay, all over this world that are sitting at the feet of the greatest teacher in the world. For they are men wondered at, and women wondered at. Okay, wondered at. Remember Deuteronomy, turn over to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. On page 173, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses. Heaven and earth are witnessing this. They're wondering at you. You know that word wonder in Zechariah 3:8, men wondered at, it's Hebrew word number 4159, and it means men who serve as a symbol or sign. Men or women who serve as a symbol or sign. You know that in your mind, turn over to Hebrews chapter, Hebrews chapter 2 first. Hebrews 2. We're going to be looking at verse 11 on page 944. It says, talking about Yahshua, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all out of one. You know, Yahweh. Therefore, he's not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will declare your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom Yahweh has given me. Now remember, men wondered at, meaning as a sign or wonder. Turn over to Isaiah 8:18 now. We're going to get back to Zechariah, but let's get a couple things in our mind. Isaiah 8:18 on page 534. And remember, that's 534 means branch in the Hebrew, right? That's when Daniel wrote Daniel chapter 12 in 534 BY. Remember all these numbers, okay? They add up to something. So 818 on page 535 says, Behold, I and the children whom Yahweh has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from Yahweh of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. Okay? For signs and for wonders, I and the children Yahweh has given me. Speaking of Yahshua and his companions. Okay? Now go back to Zechariah chapter 3. Verse 8 again, Hear now, O Yahshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone I have laid before Yahshua. Upon this stone, complete knowledge and understanding is established. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says Yahweh of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Can I have my first slide? Okay, and I want you to look at this stone, this white stone that Pastor told us about years ago, this white stone of acquittal with these numbers that he received in a dream or a vision. And he was told, this is your lot. And those numbers were written on that stone, 17, 28, and 74. Can you go to my next slide? Now, I'm reading from the 16th book of Israel, and I told everyone to read this chapter from 12:24-16. Okay, I told you to read those last two chapters in the 16th book of Israel, and if you did, you're prepared for what I'm about to show you. The dream. Back to Zechariah, Pastor says, y'all can work on this. You can study this. You were in that dream where Yahweh gave me a stone. I told you he gave me this stone with three numbers on it, and he said, this is your lot. Do y'all remember that? Everybody remember he said, this is your lot. And I woke up with my hand closed like I was still holding it in my hand. Well, in my dream, I woke up with a stone in my hand, but I was still asleep, and he said, this is your lot. The numbers were 17, 28, and 74. Those were the numbers. Now, in Zechariah, what we just read, the high priest Yahshua is talked about. Then Yahweh brings up the branch. I've always applied the next verse to Yahshua because it mentions a stone. It didn't dawn on me until this week the subject there in Zechariah was the branch. Well, the branch, brethren, is you. You're the branches. We are the branches. Yahshua is the vine. Don't forget that. It will help you with a lot of scriptures. Yahshua is the vine, we are the branches. Verse 112. Yahweh said to Yahshua, Behold the branch, because I'm going to give you a stone to work with. That stone is us. That was the very stone that was put in my hand with the numbers 17, 28, and 74. Now to the underlined portion. That stone he gave to Yahshua was the branch with the stone, the stones. Yahweh said, I'm going to give him knowledge and understanding. I'm going to give this stone. This is his lot, and you're the one who's going to use him. You're going to be high priest over this stone. Then before that, you're mentioned here. Every one of you is mentioned there as being Yahweh's people most wondered about. Yeah, the Catholic Church is full of wondering right now. They hate us dearly. This is one, the underlined portion, this one is not going to be destroyed. You know, this righteous tree will never be destroyed that you're all part of at this time. Okay, now, back to Zechariah. Now, I want you to get a couple definitions in mind. First, that word companion. A companion is a sharer or a partner or an associate. As you can see, a companion, partaker, a partner. It's word number 3352. It's a partner in a work, office, and dignity. Okay? In other words, it's an associate. It's a friend. Okay? Someone who takes share or part of something, a partaker. We all partook of Yahshua's body the other night, right? And blood? Here? Okay? Now turn over to Yochanan 15. Yochanan 15. Because Yahshua says we are his friends. Okay? Yochanan 15. Verse 14 on page 833. It says, "You are my brothers." That word friends in the King James says, "You are my brothers if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his ruler's doing, but I've called you brothers because everything that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Is he not doing that for this house? So he calls us his brothers, you know. And here's that word. It means beloved. It's the same word there in that we just read. An associate, a friend, someone dearly loved or prized in a personal, intimate way. A trusted confidant held dear in a close bond of personal perfection. And remember that word bond. And now it focuses on value-driven or decision-based love. It's not a love that's unconditional. Okay? We just got done reading. If you love me, if you're my brother, if you're my companion, take part in this work that I did. Okay? Follow in my footsteps. And of course, you see here it means companion, okay? Companion or friends. Now, you just saw the, can we have the lot numbers one more time? Okay. Okay, y'all look at those close again, and here we go. So, upon this stone, remember, I'm not going to get through all this, but I'm going to show you, I'm going to prove to you again, again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, who Yahweh is working with and who his friends, Yahshua's friends and companions are. And yes, Yahweh's friends and companions as well. Okay, so here's the gematria of upon this stone, complete knowledge and understanding is established. We're going to prove everything that Pastor said was true. That word 3254 is in Jewish gematria. Let's take a look at that. It means Yosef. Okay, and the word Yosef means to add. Remember, again and again and again and again, here a little, there a little, you know, keep trying to persuade the people over and over. It means added, adding, increase. It also means join, okay? It means to join. And that's going to be important for you to get in your mind as well. It means to join oneself or to be joined, okay? To be joined. Well, to be joined to what? To be joined to this work, tethering ourselves to this work, voluntarily tethering ourselves to this house and to this work. It means to add strength and grow stronger, and it means to add, to do, to get, to do again or more. To keep doing over and over. Keep adding. That's that word Yosef. Is that a coincidence that Yosef's name's in there? Well, I don't think so. Okay? I'm sorry. I get so excited sometimes. I just have all these wardrobe malfunctions at times because this is exciting stuff. Okay, so let's take a look at a really strange coincidence, okay? If you take pastor's lot numbers and you double them, okay, there's Hebrew. It means bosom, and it's from this word here, and it means beloved. Okay, and you remember that 1730, that's the number of miles from Times Square to the House of Yahweh in Abilene, the press room. 1730 miles, I brought that before. Now, you can do the same thing with this one, 2828. It's this word here, comes from the Hebrew word chashmam, and it means ambassador or envoys. Did you know that envoys are messengers or representatives, especially one of a diplomatic mission? Now, are we not all representatives here? We can do better than that. Now, the chief ambassador, you know, Yisro Hawkins, the light to the nations, right? He's the chief ambassador. But we're all supposed to be following in his footsteps, and it means princes. Also in the Greek, notice this. It means a group of diners, you know, dining and reclining, companions. Remember Yahshua and his disciples reclined at the table having a meal? A company. A company means those who eat bread together. Okay, that word company means those who eat bread together. The Spanish people know that pano is bread. So compano or company means those who share bread or break bread together. A group of diners. Interesting. But notice this. "74-74" means companion. Now, isn't that a coincidence, House of Yahweh? Speaking of a beloved bride. It's from this word here. And it means friend, companion, fellow. Fellow workers. I don't know if they call women fellowesses or don't know. But you're included. The women are included in this, okay? We're all one body together. Now let's look at this. Let's take Pastor's first two lot numbers. It means to make a beginning, to commence, and it means beginning of sacrificial rites to govern or to rule. Let's look, that was in the Greek. This is in the Hebrew. It means fishermen. Well, did he not tell us we will be made fishers of men? Remember that sermon that was given about the fishers going out and multiplying the people? That word fish meant to multiply. There you go. Here's the word fish, 1709. And it means, it's from this word here, daga. And it means to multiply, to increase, to grow. Okay? It means become numerous and grow. Turn to Isaiah 60:22 real quick, because this has been 6,022 years since creation, or man was put on earth. So let's go to 60:22 on page 568. Everybody there? It says, a little one will become a thousand. A small one, a mighty nation. I am Yahweh. In its time, I will hasten this. Now, who do you think that's talking about? Who do you think that's talking about? That's right, the house of Yahweh. A little one. You know, a small seed. It's going to be multiplied. Did we not see some of that coming to pass yesterday? 28:17 in the Greek, it means to draw out. To draw out. You know, to take the people out of the nations. To bring them here to the house of Yahweh. 28:17. See, that was 28:17. That was Hebrew, I'm sorry. Here's 28:17 in the Greek. It means an inheritance. An inheritance. It means an inheritance, a share, participation. It means a lot, a divine lot, the portion that Yahweh assigns somebody. A portion or lot that's assigned to someone. Okay? Remember, this is your inheritance. Remember the heritage. That's another word you can use, the heritage of Jacob. Okay, I got to get through this at least today. Okay, so the lot numbers 17, 28, and 74, there's a gematria. I put in lot numbers 17, 28, 74. That word 3444, we'll look at 4957 first. Here you go. It's this word here. And it's from this word here, Sorak. And here's the number 7796. And here's what it means. It means a vine. And it's from Hebrew Sorek. And it means choicest. And it's used in Genesis 49:11, the choicest branch. Okay, choicest branch. Keep that in your mind. That word. The next one is 3444. This should mean something to you. It means salvation. Okay, salvation. It means deliverance, help, security, victory. Remember that lot number 17 meant victory, right? Yeah, go on. It's from this word, Hebrew, yasha, and it means brought salvation, endowed with salvation, etc. It also means victorious. Okay? Now, this is interesting. Greek 3:4:4 means form, shape, outward appearance. And get this. It's from this word, meros, and it means a part, share, or portion. Okay? It means a part due or assigned to one, receive one's due portion, and it means a lot assigned to one. A lot assigned to one. A lot assigned to one. What could that mean? Well, look at this. You remember I brought this before. This isn't going to be any new news. I'm just going to build up to this because I'm not going to get to it all today. This isn't new. Pastor was born on August or 8/28/34, and he went to the UN as a light to the nations on 8/28/00 or 8/28. That was 3444 weeks exactly to the day from his birth. And Israel, if you remember the word Israel, 3478, Israel, it's from this word, he will rule as Yahweh's from this word here. And notice, there you go, 828. Drop the zero, or you can even leave the zero if you want. But that's when Pastor went to the UN as a light to the nations. Now I got to show you a picture if you can go through. If you can go through to the last picture, I'll get this in at least today. Yesterday, while you were doing the work of Yahweh here in the sanctuary, being a light to the nations that were coming here, while you were here being a light to the nations, to this world, doing your work as a companion of Yahshua, this menorah was seen in the sky at the gate by a diligent deacon in Yahweh's house. It was seen at 1:57 p.m., while the people were here, the nations were here learning at your feet. Okay? 157 in Strong's means love, and it means beloved, dearly loved, friend, friends, dearly beloved friends. Yes, you are the dearly beloved companions of Yahshua. And the next time I speak, Yahweh willing, I'm going to prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Keep working with Yahshua. He loves you. He sees what you're doing. He's very pleased. Yahweh is very pleased with this work. Keep up the job you're doing. He's showing you how much He dearly loves you, every one of you. And at this time, if you'd all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to present to you, man, whoo, the great Kohen Yehuda Hawkins. Please be seated. I will say shalom. May the peace of Yahweh be with all of us and you. If you will, please take your book of Yahweh and turn to page 684. We're going to look at Daniel 11:45 and 12 verse 1. I was asked to talk about this today, so I shall. And it reads, "And he will plant the dwellings of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain of Zion. Yet he will come to his end, and none will help him." Verse 12:1. "And at that time will Micaiah stand up, the great ruler who stands for the children of your people. And there will be a time of trouble such as never has since been, since there was a nation to that same time.
And at that time your people will be delivered, everyone who will be found written in the book of life. In Daniel 11:45, the word palace that is written in Daniel 11:45 is translated from the Hebrew word afadan. This word is listed on page 59 of the Hebrew and English Dictionary, Biblical and Rabbinical, by Marcus Breslau, which shows this means a burg. That's in the Scottish language for a foreign town. And that's from the Oxford English Dictionary. Under the word burg, B-U-R-G-H, it's pronounced burg. I can't roll my R's too well, but anyway, you get an idea. But anyway, that's what they said was translated palace. But remember that foreign town that it means in the Scottish language. It's very important. And Dr. Breslau did mention that word. He wrote the word in the meaning of this Hebrew word, afadan, that's written in Daniel 11:45. The word seize that is written in Daniel 11:45 is translated from the Hebrew word yamim. This word is listed on page 574 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows this word means a sea of people, a bunch of people. The word glorious that is written in Daniel 11:45 is translated from the Hebrew word zabi, tzabi, that's zadi bet yod. This word is listed on page 496 of the Hebrew and English Dictionary, Biblical and Rabbinical, by Marcus Breslau. It shows this word means the land of Israel. The word mountain that is written in Daniel 11:45 is translated from the Hebrew word har. This word is listed on page 371 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means temple mountain, God's mountain. What Daniel 11:45 is saying is this, and he will plant a town that is foreign among the people of the nation of Israel, and the places where they worship their God, yet he will come to his end and none will help him. In international protocol, just about every nation has several foreign towns in it where they are ruled by the government of the nation who put that town there. They are better known as embassies or consulates. So he will plant an embassy or consulate that is foreign among the people of the nation of Israel and the places where they worship their God. Yet he will come to his end and none will help him. Now look at Daniel 12, verse 1. We know that's going on. There was a big fuss because somebody wanted to move an embassy into Israel among the people there. And there was a big fuss. Funny that Daniel saw this way back, way before Yeshua. Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time will Micaiah stand up, the great ruler who stands for the children of your people. And there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation to that same time. And at that time your people will be delivered, everyone who will be found in the written in the book of life. The word Micaiah that is written in Daniel 12, 1 is translated from the Hebrew word Micaiah. This word is listed on page 804 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament. Shows this word means who is like Yahweh. The words stand up that are written in Daniel 12, 1 are translated from the Hebrew word yomad. This word is listed on page 530 of the Students Hebrew and Chaldee Dictionary to the Old Testament by Alexander Harkavy, and pages 840 and 41 of volume 2 of the Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament by Coehler and Baumgartner, which shows this word means, and Satan stood against Israel to stand before a seated judge, to stand before the heavenly council of Yahweh, to stand to put down. In other words, he stands up, she stands up, it stands up to put something else down. The word ruler that is written in Daniel 12:1 is translated from the Hebrew word hashar. This word is listed on page 644 of the Hebrew and English Dictionary, Biblical and Rabbinical, by Marcus Breslau, which shows this word means a priest. The phrase stands up that are written in Daniel 12:1 are translated, the words of it, are translated from the Hebrew word omad. This word is listed on page 1086 of volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means to stand up, to educate. The Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament by Coehler and Baumgartner, volume 2, page 841, and the Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, pages 205 and 384, then shows this word also means able. The word delivered that is written in Daniel 12:1 is translated from the Hebrew word yamalat. This word is listed on pages 817 and 818 and 1131 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, and pages 621 through 625 of volume 3 of the New International Dictionary of Old Testament Theology and Exegesis by Willem van Gemeren, which shows this word means to escape. Yahweh gives protection, a place of refuge or protection. So, while Daniel 11:45 said somebody's going to plant a foreign town or an embassy among the people of the nation of Israel and the places they worship where they worship their God, yet this one is going to come to his end and then will help him. Daniel 12:1 is saying, and at that same time, Satan will stand before seated judges and before the heavenly court of Yahweh to put down Israel, the great priest who is like Yahweh, who stands at Abel for the children of your people. And there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation to that same time. And at that time your people will escape to the protected place of Yahweh, everyone who will be found written in the book of life. And one thing you should know, those of us who have been working here at the house of Yahweh, me, close to 40 years, and others, Satan has been after us full blast, as the world would say. And some of us have got pretty banged up over it, but we're still going. Brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, both, we're still going. And that's the whole point. And look what Satan tried to do to Israel. She stood up in the heavenly court, couldn't get anywhere. So she went to the worldly courts of this area and this state to try to get them to do something. They didn't get anywhere either. Because Yahweh runs this show, and whether they like it or not, that's just the way it is. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And I now turn these services over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins. Please stand.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Now, to show how always we're fighting here in this world, and when I say a fight, I don't mean by punching and swinging, not by sword, you know, or by might, but by the every word of Yahweh. And you hear a pastor talk about how teachers are the most important thing in the house of Yahweh and in the world today. If you want to make a difference, become a teacher. And now in the world, we see teachers going on strike. And they're going on strike due to they go to college for 4 years, and they come out of college, and many of them right now are making less than people that are working at McDonald's with a four-year college degree. And the one we specifically show is from Pastor's hometown in Lexington, Oklahoma. It's the Norman School District. Norman's the county seat there in Lexington. But it shows how teachers are going to their representatives, asking them to make a difference, and watch what occurs when they go there. A teacher should never be treated this way. A teacher, as Pastor said, will be the highest paid jobs in the kingdom of Yahweh, the most important jobs that someone can have. You know, not that we do it for money, but we do it because it's the right thing to do. But keep that in mind, because this funding that you see that's not going to teachers, well, where is this money going? Of course, we know a lot of it goes to wars. But also these opioid clinics. We've showed this before, but it just came out on the news again, where they're wanting to establish opioid clinics so people who are drug users, they have illegal drugs, or they have drugs they shouldn't have. They're wanting to establish clinics so these people can come in. They'll provide them, as they say, sterile syringes and clean environments so they can experiment. As the one drug user says, I want to be able to test the product and make sure it works, but if it doesn't, I want someone to be able to save me. Well, they're opening up clinics so these people can come in and freely do their heroin. Notice they're not helping them in any which way, shape, or form, but they are maximizing profits out of them. And they don't really say that a drug company is going to get involved. They just say they hope that a private company will come in and help fund this. Well, of course, if there's investments to be made in this money, and this is opioid product, a lot of it is opioids, pharmaceutical opioids, fentanyl and so forth, that's what they're using. Now, there is the heroin, it's off the street, but of course, look at where it's coming from. These opioids are not prescribing less. The opioid deaths are getting worse, and the drug companies are making more money. And speaking of more money, there's a cancer drug that's out on the market. And imagine if you have cancer and you're told you have a brain tumor, and it specifically is for brain tumors, and they come to you and say, you need this drug to help remove this cancer from your brain. They don't tell you what brought it on or what could have prevented it or how to cleanse yourself. And then they tell you, now this pill costs you $968 a pill. Now imagine if you had to take one a day and you went through chemo for 6 weeks. $42,000 for a pill. And they're trying to convince you that they're going to kill the cancer. What they're doing is they're collecting every bit of your life savings that you could come up with if you had any, and then you die broke. Has nothing to do with helping you, has nothing to do with saving you. And that's the system. They sin and they refuse to repent through their pharmacy, their pharmaceuticals. They don't tell people that the wages of sin is death. They maximize profits off of sin. And that is where the love of money is a root of all evil. Instead of teaching people this is the way you must go, they find a way to maximize profits off of people's sin instead of helping them. And that is the way the beastly system does things. And then in Kenya, this is very interesting. Pastors talked about how the land is sick and, of course, it's suffering. And they show right outside of Nairobi, Kenya, the land is literally opening up into these huge gaps. They show some of them are 50 foot deep and they run for long distances. But no one really, the scientists can't explain why it's taking place. They really don't know. They're arguing with each other on why the land is opening up the way it has been. There's really no scientific reason, but we know the earth is sick and it's crying out, and it's not odd to see these things take place with our earth, with the environment. And then with Russia, Turkey, and Iran, they're actually forming a closer bond now, and it's very important. Watch this very carefully. Remember Russia, China, they're forming an alliance. They have an alliance. They need each other. But when these countries come together, you're seeing an alliance that's being formed that they're making where the beast cannot sanction them. And that's what they're trying to form. They're forming a system outside of this political system of the beast. Remember the United States being that second beast that receives authority from the first beast that says, let us be like the first beast. Not everybody wants to be like the first beast. Now, it's not that those countries are righteous, but they have forms of righteousness. They will have righteousness once they come to the house of Yahweh. But they have forms, and that's what's being attacked. But Iran, Russia, and Turkey, and they're trying to free Syria from these arms of terrorism. Now, they say terrorism, and it doesn't take much when you listen to what they say, who they're talking about when they say terrorists. They say we need to free them from terrorism, and no country should be in Syria unless Syria asks. Well, it's very clear they're talking about the United States. And then Sergei Lavrov, that's the chief diplomat. He sits right under Vladimir Putin in going out and discussing, as they say, Russian interests in their country. Well, he recently met with a leader from North Korea. Not the leader, not the president or Kim Jong-un, but a chief diplomat from North Korea. And, of course, they went to discuss the future of the Korean Peninsula. Now, right after that, Russia comes out and tells the United States, you need to stop your military drills and you really need to get your military off the Korean Peninsula. North Korea sees what's going on with this maneuvering. You don't see the Vatican going to North Korea, and you don't see North Korean leaders going to the Vatican. You do see South Korean, but you don't see North Korean. North Korea wants to be part of that, what they think is protection. Now, it's a false protection because we know Psalms 91 says this is the place of protection and there's none other than the house of Yahweh. Well, they're relying on these bigger countries that can bite back a little bit harder than they can, and they're wanting to form these alliances. Well, Russia warns the United States, and then I want to show you a few articles that just, a lot of this coming out this morning. China, now they're willing to go tit for tat with the United States. China this morning, it shows battleships, China launched massive Navy drills with 40 warships in the South China Sea as three U.S. carriers battle groups sailed by. And it says Chinese state media says the exercises are centered on aircraft carriers in Liaoning, that's the name of the little island out there with warships combining from the north, east, and south fleets. So that's the whole part of their fleets there, the China, that China has in the sea. And then, of course, you see right here that China vows to fight tariffs. That's a fancy word for sanctions. That's exactly what a tariff is. To the end, as tensions rise. It says China said it would counter U.S. protectionism to the end and at any cost as the war of words over President Donald Trump proposed tariffs or sanctions, Chinese imports escalate. The statement from Beijing came after Trump ordered his administration to consider tariffs on an additional, this is besides the first one, an additional $100 billion in Chinese goods on fifth day, sending U.S. stock futures tumbling. The U.S. president cited China's unfair retaliation in response to his proposed tariffs earlier this week covering $50 billion in Chinese products. Notice it says the Chinese will follow suit to the end and at any cost. So to the end and at any cost, and will firmly attack using new comprehensive countermeasures to firmly defend the interest, remember what they're planning to do, of the nation and its people. Now that's what the Commerce Ministry said in a statement on this website. And then you also have China will not hesitate, major response to new tariffs, the Ministry of Commerce says. When you put all of these things together, there's one thing China can do that no one else has been able to do. When the beast puts sanctions on a country, China is the only one, due to not having debt, they sanction the beast right back. They say, that's fine, we'll put tariffs on you too. And that's what China's saying. We're not like these other countries. You won't shut us down. And one way they can speak so boldly, they have Russia behind them. That's where their oil's coming from. So you're not hurting their oil by doing that. And then, of course, I want to bring this to your memory. Pastor said, now this is in the fifth book of Yisrael, chapter 31, verse 62. So chapter 31, verse 62, Pastor said, Iran now has Russia as an ally and China as an ally because they're receiving oil from that country. Remember, hurt not the oil. They have an incentive to protect them. So all of these that are working together, they have incentives to protect each other. Now, that was in this book, The Next War, that Caspar Weinberger put out, that I've quoted many times. He showed how this very scenario could take place right here and lead all nations, not excluding one, into nuclear war in a 24-hour period. I used to live in North Carolina, so that means I could leave the House of Yahweh, and by the time I got back home, there could be a nuclear war. That's very quickly. The same thing is lined up right now. Yahweh letting it go could start the war. This is a very important part. Yahweh is not going to let the war go until he knows it's the right time for you. And that's speaking to us. You're the most important thing in this world right now. He brought you this far. He's going to bring you to total perfection. You have to see what this way is bringing. And what their way is bringing for you to be complete. Now, that was in 2005. That was 13 years ago. So we should be a lot closer in that seventh stage than what we were then. So please think about all these things. Watch what's taking place. Consider these alliances that are forming. And understand that we were told these things before they ever came to pass from only one man. And that's the anointed seventh mallet. If we could please play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan, Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Way to go. Boy, looks like a big crowd. Way to go. You may be seated. Can you straighten that up? May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I like what we're seeing in the news. I like what we're seeing here better. the peace of Yah, the peaceful scene.
the peace of Yahweh is with us here and at the peaceful scene. I'm not sure everyone is getting what I want them to from that peaceful scene. The idea is, now listen to me, we mankind lived without automobiles, television, telephones, all of this for 5,900 years. Yes, all of this came to us to show what an increase in knowledge. Now that's what Yahweh is going to give to each one of you. Your subconscious mind, which there's no end to the knowledge you can store in your subconscious mind. That's been proven, showing the subconscious mind and what it's capable of. But Yahweh kept the amount of knowledge given to Adam and Eve. He kept that in man's history, up until he had lived 5,000, over almost 6,000 years. This only came to us in this last 100 years, and it came to us to prove to heaven and earth what his way, what the world's way would bring if knowledge was increased to it. Now, Yahweh's original sons had knowledge. It was, you know, all the Malachim, the demons, and so forth in heaven. Yahweh shows is far above us in knowledge right now, in their accumulation of and being able to use knowledge. In the first phases of the world, of the earth, Satan and her gods, her sons, who turned gods, Satan and her sons had the knowledge to create and maintain flesh. They were the adversaries of Yahweh because he wanted to bring righteousness. He created the earth to do so, to bring forth a people like himself that would rule as he rules in total righteousness. His sons and his wife did not agree with this. Therefore, I think the reason they created the dinosaurs was because they knew that Yahweh was going to create a fleshly being. And they created these dinosaurs thinking, boy, that ended his plan. Put mankind on earth with a bunch of dinosaurs. And they had spears and rocks is all they had to fight with. Well, if you could imagine that, and then these were the adversaries to his plan, as is shown in Eob. There were the Malachim that left their first estate. Now, first off, Yahweh shows that if you leave your first estate, you won't be offered a second one. You know, that's it. You leave your first estate, then you're going to be minus, because Yahweh knows he won't be able to trust you. So you're going to be minus any further growth that you would get if you stayed in the house of Yahweh, and the best is yet to come, and it's very short to come now. But the reason we put that display up, I wanted you to see that, and I wanted you to live a little of what I lived in my early days as a child. I remember when I was assigned at a very young age to take my sister, Margaret, and her and I go to town and get some supplies. And I hooked the mules up, two mules to the wagon. We left the house. The gate was very close in front of us. I pulled up to the gate, stopped the mules. I had one mule that was a little bit jittery, and I was always in my mind that this mule, if he takes off, I'm in trouble. and because he would lead the other one with him. But I stopped the mules in front of the gate. I got off of the wagon. I opened the gate. I pulled it back out of the way. I got back on the wagon, drove the wagon through the gate, got off of the wagon, and shut the gate. Now, that's how difficult things are now. Right now, I can mash a button before I get to the gate, and the gate will automatically open for me. Now, that's the difference in this 100 years. I also have a telephone that I can stay in touch and get a lot of work done with the phone. Also cause a lot of trouble with that phone, but I get some work done. And have an automobile where I can rush from one place to another to get work done. All of this came in the last 100 years. Well, I used everything that Yahweh gave me to the use of his work. I put it in the use of his work. The cassette players. I said, this is an invention for the house of Yahweh to reach the people. And then the television, the Facebook, I said, let's get it all. Let's get on all of it. Don't miss anything. And that's been our push. The push of the house of Yahweh is to get this knowledge out to the people. The knowledge, the difference in Satan's world, 4,199 religions, that's got taken the same knowledge that was given to us by prophecy, prophesied thousands of years before it came, and they took that knowledge that Daniel said we would have, Yahweh's prophet Daniel said we would have, and you saw them floating in the seas there, in the China Sea, the Black China Sea. The planes that we have and the bombs we have, they're not satisfied with these. You know, they keep building bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like the money. Also, did you see the money these people are making and they went on strike? He who seeks after silver will never be satisfied with silver. We have found satisfaction here in the house of Yahweh. That's something else I do with the money, you know. I don't even touch most of it. A few pennies that come to me, you know. I don't even know if I need that or not. But it goes straight into the work. This building right here that we built, the only year I was ever audited was I put everything into this building right here. And they said, nobody gives all of his money to the church. Well, I said, I can prove it. There it is, right there. Well, what I want you to see is the way that I lived, that everyone, the whole world lived this for thousands of years, just like it is at that peaceful scene. That doctor's buggy, yes, he went all over the country pulling a buggy with one horse, taking him from house to doctor people. The doctors apparently is not making enough money either. They make a lot of money, but they're not making enough. They could never make enough. It was on the news just here a week or so ago where they set up false clinics and houses. There wasn't never a patient went through the house, but they sent bills from those houses to the government and got money, your tax money, back in their pockets. Did their conscience hurt them any? Not in the Christian world. You take what you want. You own, as one of the tapes that's played here yesterday, own everything. You take it and you own it. You make sure you keep control of what you own. Well, that's the world's way, of course. It started with Nimrod. Take what you own, that by force. 10th chapter of Genesis. Well, when you go there today, take you a granite bowl. We have them available in general store. A granite bowl, it starts, the peaceful scene down there starts about 3 p.m. and 3 to 5, I think. And don't mind if you go a little over, just so you get home in time to get some rest. Two things you need in here at the house of Yahweh: your honey butter balls. You need that. You need to take some back with you. It will help you get through stressful days a lot. It helps a lot. And it makes you, it doesn't make you, but it gives you the help to choose righteousness. And that's what's shown in your scripture. And shun evil. The honey butter balls I said two things, and I forgot what the second thing was.
Rest.
What?
Rest.
Rest. See, I didn't get enough rest last night. That's right. When problems are dumped on me of a night, well, I think about them. I tend to think about trying to solve these problems overnight. Not mine, but problems that other people are having. Satan says she owns the world. And she does. And that's the first lesson that's taught to us. As she told Yahshua, she said, all of this is given to me. I own it. And I can give it to whomsoever I will. And of course, that didn't tempt Yahshua. He was never tempted with sin. He was tempted, but he never was tempted. They put it out to tempt him, but he was never tempted into partaking of it. I've been tempted with money too. I told you I turned the last person over that was wanting to give us a trunk load of money to Shaul, the great Kohan Shaul. He wasn't tempted either. I turned a woman. This was a woman that came here with a trunk load of money, not money, but bonds. It was bonds that she was willing to give us. And I told Tana, well, you handle this one. Tana wasn't willing to. She wanted us to offer sacrifices. The other one wanted us to build a temple to offer sacrifices. Where is all this coming from? To me, it'd be denying the Savior, right? Well, I don't deny the Savior. The Savior is Yahshua Messiah. He died for, he was the sacrifice. But Satan owns the world. She has the whole world deceived. That's Revelations 12:9. Romans 6:16 says plainly, you belong to whom you obey, whether of righteousness which leads to life or sin which leads to death. 1 Yochanan 2:4, all you preachers out there saying, do you know the Lord, brethren? I've heard that many, many times as I went to your churches. You're a liar. You're a liar and the truth is not in you. Read 1 Yochanan or 1 John if you have a King James Version. It says so. He who says, I know him and keeps not his commandments, that's the King James Version, is a liar, and the truth is not in you. You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. That's your Bible talking. That's the Bible that offers you salvation. You can't go anyplace else and get salvation. Read that scripture. Read it. It applies to you. 1 John 3:4-15. I think I'll turn there and read that one. It's the same in the King James Version, but 1 John 3, and for everyone out there that's listening, You can't get salvation unless you keep are willing to keep Yahweh's laws. Salvation was cut off from mankind. You can read that in the chapters 1 through 4 in Genesis. The third chapter gives you the reason, because you turned to God worship instead of obeying Yahweh's righteousness. 1 John 3:4 says, whosoever commits sin, sin is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. As long as you're not keeping the Sabbath day holy, the seventh day of the week holy, it's not Sunday. That was changed to Sunday in order to worship the sun god Baal. The sun god Baal? In Genesis, hold your place right there. But Genesis, the 10th chapter, 10:10. 10:10, that should be easy for anyone to remember, even a Baptist preacher. As dumb as you people are, you should be able to remember this, what I'm going to show you here right now. Genesis 10:10. In the beginning of his kingdom was Babylon. Babylon. You know what Babylon is? If you got a Strong's Concordance, look up the number 10:10. That's the 10th chapter and the 10th verse. Let me read it to you. 10:10, it's from 1004 and 1168 and 4583, and it all means, listen to me now, the house of Baal. Babylon is the house of Baal. That's where you get the word Lord, L-O-R-D. From who? The rabbis. That's a title to dead rabbis that you're worshiping. You're not worshiping Yahweh. You're worshiping dead rabbis. The prophet Jeremiah. This should be plain enough for anyone to see. A fool should be able to read these scriptures and see that you're worshiping Baal. Baal means Lord. Lord means rabbi. They gave that title. It was invented for their beloved rabbis. And when they died, like the popes, they deified them. The great serpent deified them. Vatican. Vatican means divining serpent. That by her divining, she deified these gods that you worship. Shown in Genesis 3:5. In 3:5, evil like the gods. Evil like the gods. Did I go too fast? Get the tape. Listen to it over and over. It is really simple. Jeremiah says, how long will you continue in this lie? Jeremiah, that's Jeremiah in your King James Version out there. Now, I know I'm speaking to Germany and Italy and all of you nations right now. This is going live throughout the earth right now, as prophecy said it would, from the house of Yahweh. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy these lies, who devise and scheme to cause my people to forget my name for Baal, Lord. For Baal, Lord. Well, back to First John or First Yochanan. If you have a King James Version, it's 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verse 4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses the laws of Yahweh, because sin is breaking the laws of Yahweh. That's simple enough. Surely that's simple enough for you. Write down, all of you people out there, write down Revelations to go with the scripture right here. Write down Revelations 22:14. Blessed are those that keep his laws. That's what it says. They have right to life. The house of Yahweh is the only place on the face of the earth that is teaching this knowledge. Yes. And to all the world. At this time, just like prophecy said it would. Sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4, or 1 Yochanan, if you have a book of Yahweh. If you don't believe the book of Yahweh, and you have a Strong's Concordance, look up the word John. Or get you a Bible dictionary, and look up the word John. And it will show you his name is Yochanan. It has a meaning. You need to know the meaning. Little children, look at verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. Don't let the Vatican deceive you. Don't let the dead rabbis, whose words that they wrote back then in the Babylonian Talmud and wherever else they wrote them, don't let any of this deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. He who practices it. You got to keep the Sabbath day in order to practice it. The seventh day of the week. Isaiah 58 says, if you will turn your foot from my Sabbath day, then I will do this for you. You will have life. Exodus 20 shows you the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20:20 shows you that Yahweh is going to test you to see if you're faithful to keep a feast for 8 days here in front of Him. If you don't pass this test, you just simply pass up the plate that offers life, the tree that offers life. He who commits sin, verse 8, does not belong to Yahweh. He belongs to Satan the devil. Surely that's plain enough, and it says it in every Bible, every translation. He who commits sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. That's what she taught Eve to do with sin. For this purpose, the Son of Yahweh was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Not the works of Yahweh, the works of the devil. The works of the devil is breaking the laws. He came teaching the laws, living by the laws, and he's high priest over the house of Yahweh today, Hebrews 10:21, Hebrews 10:16, teaching the laws. That's what he's doing right now as high priest over the house of Yahweh. Look on down to verse 10. In this the children of Yahweh and the children of the devil are manifest. That is, they're known. Yes, we're known throughout the earth right now because we worship Yahweh. We're teaching the laws of Yahweh. We're teaching the ways of salvation, just like the prophecy written about us, the same prophecies that said there'd be that you would be developing nuclear bombs to destroy yourselves. Those same prophecies prophesy of a work of Yahweh that says the peaceful solution is going to be taught throughout the whole earth. And it's going to grow like a big oak tree. And it's going to take over all the trees. Devil was manifest. And verse 10, in this, the children of Yahweh and the children of the devil are manifest. They're known. Whosoever does not practice righteousness is not of Yahweh and does not love his neighbor. No, that's the reason you see all the wars and fighting taking place at this time. For this is the message that was taught in the beginning by Abel, the righteous priest. The righteous priest taught this in the beginning, from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, murdering, whose murders have led now to billions of even babies. Yes, they're killing billions of babies along with their wars that is killing thousands, along with sickness and disease that is killing millions. This is all going on in the last in this last 100 years of knowledge increase. This is what you have done with the knowledge increase, and you proved to heaven and earth, if you had great knowledge, what you would do with it. Well, the house of Yahweh is here established in these last days to teach you a peaceful solution that Yahweh taught in the beginning, and it's the only thing that's ever proven to bring peace, the laws, the righteous laws of Yahweh. And you stand up there, you and the Pope, the Vatican, the divining serpent, and say, oh, all of that was done away with. Yeah, you did a fine job in doing away with it. And you have brought all kinds of sickness, disease, wars, hatred, confusion. Murder his brother. Cain murdered his brother because his works were evil. Evil like the gods. Genesis 3:5. Evil like the gods. And his brothers were righteous like Yahweh. You hated him and you killed him. And the crusades that started after that, a few years after that, a few hundred years after that, your ancestors, your children started crusades that brought about the Black Plague. Remember that? Well, all of that is in prophecy, and I hope to get to that in the last day before the Last Supper. Do not marvel, my brothers, that the world hates you. That's speaking to those who keep the laws. Look at verse 15. Whosoever hates his neighbor is a murderer and does not have eternal life. And if you take part in this world, you're a murderer, and you're not going to have part in this great kingdom that Yahweh is building at this time. In Yochanan 8, in verse 31, let's turn there because you need to get this in your mind before we go further to understand what this is leading up to. In chapter 8, if you look at verse 31, you'll see the word. This is Yochanan 8, verse 31, you'll see the word Yadim. If you look at verse 22, you'll see it again. If you look at verse 13, you'll see these are Pharisees. And not only are they Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, but they're all being ruled by Yada. And that's what that word Yadim means. It means Yada, but I want you to see the religion they belong to there. And Yahshua says in verse 44, you are of your teacher, who is Satan, the devil. That's Yadim. That's Yada, who's on seven hills of Rome right now, calling themselves Catholic, which means universal God worshipers. Even the host of heaven they worship. Surely this is plain enough. Now, Yochanan 8:44, you are of your teacher, who is Satan. If you remember, 1 Yochanan 3:4 said the same thing, 3:4-15. You are of your teacher, who is Satan the devil, and whatsoever she who is your teacher desires, you will do. She was a murderer from the beginning, and remained not in the truth, because there is no truth in her. This proves she did not remain in the truth. At one time, it also shows you, she was once in the truth, but she did not remain in the truth. You get that? So were the gods. They were taught the truth. Her sons were taught the truth. But Eob shows that the sons of Yahweh, who they were and so forth, Yahweh said they left their first estate. They ruined the earth before mankind was created and put on the earth. That's shown in the first two verses of chapter 1 of Genesis. Get that in your mind. they created dinosaurs, I believe, because they were the adversaries of Yahweh's plan, and hope that would stop Yahweh from creating mankind. Well, of course, the earth created the microorganisms, created a flood that killed all the dinosaurs. Then Yahweh comes in, pulls back the water, lets land appear, creates mankind, and starts the process. He starts a process. He actually starts a process that's cut up into pieces, but a 6,000-year plan. Because he had to test and prove mankind. He had to prove it to heaven, because heaven sees his sons now and what they're doing. They also are experiencing their own leadership. So there are a lot of them wanting you right now. Once you receive this power, you'll be able to teach them successfully to have peace after this. There's no truth in her. There was truth in her to begin with, and she had the power to create and maintain flesh, and I would suspect her sons had the same power. Therefore, when you speak your falsehood, you speak her words, she is a liar and the teacher of lies. If you don't keep Yahweh's laws, you are a liar and the teacher of lies. All of you preachers out there, you really need to take this seriously and start reading the Bible instead of just holding it up as a showpiece and telling goofy stories to your people, like Halloween, like Easter bunnies laying eggs. All of these are lies, like Santa Claus. Tell me they're not lies, you preachers out there. Write in and tell me they're not lies. Show me some truth in them. Study them. I'll give you a booklet. It's free. All you have to do is just call, write, or email. Yet because I tell you the truth, Yeshua said, speaking to the Yadim, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, who now sit on the seven hills of Rome, shown in Revelation 17, yet because I tell you the truth, Yeshua is telling them the truth, because we are the house that he is high priest over right now. He is teaching this through his house, also Yahweh's prophesied house. In the last days, I will establish my house. Yeshua is high priest over that house, Hebrews 10:21. Teaching the laws, Hebrews 10:16. Yet because I tell you the truth, or the laws of Yahweh, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin, he said. Well, they couldn't. He lived a sinless life. But their lives were full of sin, all of them, and they knew it. And they were slaves to sin, and Yeshua told them so. Verse 47, he who is of Yahweh hears my words, the laws and the prophets. Now you do not hear because you're not of Yahweh. In Genesis 49, now remember this right here, Yadim, Yada, Pharisees, and they hate the laws of Yahweh. Now go over to Genesis 49, Genesis 49, verse 1 now, verse 1 shows you the last days, the last four words in that sentence, the last days. Now what is shown in this chapter reaches into and includes the last days. What is shown here? Written in 1689 BY, before Yeshua. It reaches from there to the last days, the very last days, when you'd have bombs, the world would have bombs, led by the religions, 4,000, 4,199 religions, all fighting and warring and getting ready for the great burning shown, 1 hour burning, shown in Revelations 18. This right here, that Jacob, the prophecies he gave here, reaches into the last days, the last 100 years, when we would have an increase in knowledge to prove what we would do without righteousness. Have knowledge without righteousness. And that's exactly what Yahweh is proving to the earth. He says they will destroy themselves with a nuclear 1 hour burning. And lo and behold, in my lifetime now, in my lifetime, they have developed, in fact, it started in 1934, the year I was born, and in my lifetime, the bomb started, and also in 1934, and the knowledge increase that was prophesied also started in 1934. Think, brethren, all you people out there listening to this, this can't be a coincidence. The scriptures are true. Not one of them will fail, Yahweh said. Well, if you look on down now, we're living in a world that's about to crumble. It's about to be burned. The nations are getting lined up. They're getting braver each year, each month, each day. And they're boasting their strength. And they're getting their foot in their mouth. They can't back down. If China backed down now, she'd be sunk. And she's saying, we're going to fight till the last person. Now that's how determined they are. And putting those ships in that sea that the United States is trying to claim now and possess, you saw that on the news. This is not going to bring peace. Okay, this scepter, now remember Yada, the Yadim that fought against Yahshua, that Yahweh took beyond Babylon on to Rome, the divining serpent, the Vatican, the Roman Catholic Church, the so-called Holy Roman Empire that brought all the Crusades and murdered all those people, And they have salvation for you? You'd got to be an idiot to believe that. And all the churches followed suit. They're still following this woman. I can't get any plainer than what I'm getting. I'm not beating around the bush anymore. Well, verse 10 shows you how it ends. And how Yahweh, his plan for bringing salvation. No, Billy Graham didn't have salvation. None of you preachers out there have salvation. You'd have to come to the house of Yahweh. Yahshua tells you in Matthew 6:33, Matthew, that's King James Version. You can't read the name there. They took it out and put two false gods in there. They even call them false gods themselves. They call them pagan gods. That's Christianity in their books. No, Jesus and Christ is not the Savior. Your concordance will show you that. Your Bible dictionaries will show you this. The book of Yahweh will show you plainly. We have booklets out showing you all the truth on it. There's no need for you being deceived. Don't let them deceive you anymore. Turn to your Bibles. Turn to the Scriptures. Verse 10. The scepter will not depart from Yada. The Scripture don't lie. Yada is the one that sits on seven hills today, getting the nations ready for nuclear war, depopulation. As Malachi Martin says, they hope to come out on top. They hope to resurrect the Roman Empire, and they hope to rule the world again like they did with the Roman Empire for a short time. They also took the book of Yahweh away from the people. They destroyed Jerusalem. Jerusalem. They destroyed it. They took all the wealth, destroyed all the houses, plowed Mount Zion like a field, moved the temple to Rome. It's now called the Sistine Chapel. Painted all over with cartoons. And the Pope, that's where he sits, showing himself that he is the mighty one. Right now, he's doing that. And he's telling the world that he has salvation. What brought the Bible back, what brought the book of Yahweh in a version called the King James Version, was called a black plague. That black plague started in China. If you want to write down the number, I know I've got a lot of explaining to do now, but I'll let you write down this number now and explain it to you later. 1,335 after Yahshua. I know some of you know where I got that number. It started there. You know what it started from? Murder. The Black Death started from murder. The Crusades. And they went until that Black Plague started. And it started wiping them out. It almost it wiped out about 82% of the Catholic Church. And they were forced to let us have back, in a version, the book of Yahweh. It took all their power away. I hope to bring the most of this. I won't be able to bring it all, but I hope to bring the most of it the last day, by the last day, the last great day of the feast. We'll take up here where I left off, and on that day, Yahweh willing, and then we'll go from there. The steps, that number, if you look it up, that number I gave you, if you look it up, it means pieces of a puzzle, like. But this was pieces of an activity, a planned activity. Yahweh planned to let them take the book of Yahweh away from society and show them what it would bring. That it was proved to heaven, proved to heaven and earth what it brings when this book, this vital, vital part of peace right here, the vital book of peace, when this is taken away from the people, like it was in heaven by the gods. Many of them are living without it, but Yahweh shows that with this knowledge that he has, he's going to prove also what it brings. He's going to prove that to heaven and earth. But he's proven already what takes place when knowledge is increased, and he intends to increase your knowledge by, you know, there's no way that you can overfeed the subconscious mind. There's no amount of knowledge. I mean, you can just store it and store it and store it. And they know this much about the mind that's in every head, every human being who lives, that subconscious mind is there. Even people that are deformed, they say that this subconscious mind is in that brain. Every person that has it. Don't worry about having a defect in your body. As long as that subconscious mind is there and stores this, and you prove to Yahweh that you're fit to, that you will not use power against the laws of Yahweh, and you will be given that promise of Genesis 1:26. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!